Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Tonight we're looking at finding and fulfilling your calling. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Tell anybody, say neighbor. Look it now. Are you ready for the word? Tell anybody, say neighbor. Are you ready for the word tonight? Talk to your other neighbor, say my other neighbor. Are you ready for the word tonight? So, did you come to church with your Bibles tonight? You know, I'm encouraging you to have a real Bible. I don't have a problem with phone Bibles or iPads, and I have a Bible on my phone too, but I want to encourage you to have a Bible. A Bible you can write in. I know you can write on your pads too. But there's power in the book. You're not the first one to have tablets. You know God gave Moses tablets. God has been using touch screen from Mount Horeb. So they call it tablets. Is that what they call it? So even before Steve Jobs got the idea, God had tablets. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen, 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 amen. So we'll have a Bible, have a real Bible. So tell them, say, neighbor, did you come to church with your notepad? What do your neighbors say? Yeah. I'm also encouraging you to write. Write. Writing makes what? I didn't bring my highlighter tonight. I forgot. But if you got my questions right, I owe you an highlighter. Writing makes what? An exact man. And I said to you that God writes. Abi? And I said to you again that Satan writes. That's what the Bible says, that he blotted out every handwriting that was written against us. So Satan writes, God writes. Don't be the only one that does not write. Amen. So tell me again, say, neighbor, you have a notepad tonight? My friend's in the house this evening. Let me celebrate my friend, Pastor Wale Fajano. Come on, I can do better. Come on, SLC. I don't even know about, you know by Mr. Wale MC, and you know him all the way from way back. From you know, I was seeing our picture in Discovery Mall. I think I sent you a video recently. Maybe was it some months ago? You know, and it's the part of what we're talking about tonight. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. I want to celebrate God for the privilege of godly friendship. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Let me celebrate him again. Thank you, sir. Godly friendship. Don't joke with godly friendships. Godly in this world, you need godly friends. There are people that you talk to and they destroy your life. They give you advice from the pit of hell. They went to hell to dig out that advice. And a lot of people's lives have been destroyed because of their counsel that they got from their friends. All right? Romans 11 tonight. Is Duma in the house tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Duma, give me 11 verse 29. Romans 11 verse 29. What does it say?
For the gifts and the callings of God
are without repentance. Do I need to? Can I come close to you guys tonight? I enjoyed what I did last week. Help me. Help me. For the gifts and the callings of God are without. Someone say gifts.
Gifts.
Say again, say gifts.
Gifts.
Say it well, say gifts.
Gifts.
Then say callings.
Callings.
It's not Minister Collins that ministered this night, though. Mr. Collins has a calling. I told him before. Amen. The gifts and the callings of God, the Bible says, are without repentance. Without repentance means that God doesn't withdraw what He has given to you. That proverb, God gives and God takes. It was Job that said it. Jesus didn't say it. There was no place that Jesus, by any form of illustration or assumption, made it look as if God was going to give you a calling or a purpose. or give you a child and take away your child back. All right? So the Bible says the gifts and the callings of God, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So when I was seeing that scripture now, there's a scripture that came to my heart very quickly. So I said, let me quickly explain it. About the man whose talent was withdrawn. I'm finished that story. Because I said God doesn't take back. So when I said God doesn't take back, as a Bible student, your head is spinning. Is there anyway? Yes, it's very, very important. So that guy's talent was collected at the end of age. The Bible says it was casted out to outer darkness. You get my point? Where there will be gnashing of teeth. It was after the master returned. Are you following my point? It was when the master returned that the master said they should give account for what they had done with their lives. So it was not within the time of their use. Are you following my point now? All right. So the gifts and the callings of God. When God gives you a calling, he gives you a gift to match the calling. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. The plan of God for your life does not change. God doesn't alter. God doesn't change his mind about you. God doesn't change his mind about us. We can make mistakes. And many times Satan will torment us that God has changed his mind about us. Sometimes Satan can even make us feel like we are now useless. That what God called us to do with our lives, he has withdrawn it and given to another person. How many of you have had that kind of feeling ever in your life? Let me see your hands. You've had that kind of feeling. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God has a calling on everyone's life. Everyone here under the sound of my voice, there's a calling on your life. I know you don't like to feel like a pastor, but it's not about the pastoral ministry. This is a calling on your life. You are not here as an accident. You are not here just by mistake. You are not here because God had an afterthought. You were in his mind. You were in his heart. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. What I see today is an envelope that's packaging a message for our generation. I've never seen any of you before. Never. You guys are peeping at me through your eyes. The real you has never been seen before. This is your coat. Are you following my point? This flesh is your coat. That's why some of us spend so much time on the outer body than we're spending on the real man. The real man is the inward man. I've never seen him before. He's peeping at me through your eyes. And one day, you're going to let go of this outer coat. And the real man is going to return back to God. Paul says to be absent in the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So you are here on assignment. The way your parents gave back to you does not matter. You are here on assignment. Me that you're looking at now, I'm a product of fornication. Someone say, child, I'm telling you. My mother and my father were having sex outside marriage when my mother got pregnant of me. That's the truth. The plain truth and nothing but the truth. It's fornication. Or what is people that are not married, when they're having sex, what is it called? Eh? Say it very well now. It's fornication. It's not fun. They are not making out. They are fornicating. Tell them, say, neighbor, it is called fornication. It's not fun. So my parents were fornicating on that day. And the Lord spoke to an angel. It is time to send Philip on the earth. And the angel looked left and right. He said, oh God, Father, there is no couple. God says, look very well. He says, save this couple that be fornicating. They spoke in King James Version. God said, put him there. For out of darkness, he called out lights.
Yes, yes, yes.
You see that?
Yes,
yes. My background should never be the reason why my back is on the ground. He called out light out of darkness. He sent me into my mother. The devil did not make my mother pregnant. The devil does not have life. The Bible calls him the father of lies. The devil does not have life. The devil cannot give life even if he wants to. He's a minister of death. All of us came from God, irrespective of how we came. And that's why you should be careful what you do with the baby in your womb. That baby is a baby. He's a human being. The Bible says Jesus, John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That's why abortion is wrong. That baby has a purpose. That baby is coming here for something. Are you following my point tonight? Come on. All of us here have a call of God on our lives. It is how we feel. You might even be feeling miserable about your life tonight. You may be feeling terrible about your own life tonight. The only reason why you are alive is that God has not given up on you yet. That's the only reason why you are alive. If you are looking at me with your two kurokuro eyes tonight, it's because God is not done with you. God is not done with you. For to him that is joined to the living, there's what? Hope. Hope. God has hope in you that you're going to yield to his call. That's why I nodded. So everyone has a call. And when God calls you, number two, he keeps you for the call that he has called. He keeps you with gifts. Number two. Number one, everyone has a call. Number two, when God calls you, he keeps you with a gift for your call. Number three, God doesn't change his mind about your call. It is possible to find and fulfill God's call for your life. It is possible not to live your life groping through the dark, stumbling here and there, living by trial and error. It's possible to be razor sharp about the call and the plan of God for your life. Very possible. There is nothing as fulfilling as being right where God wants you to be. So if you are in SLC tonight, God wants you here. God wants you here. God, you are right in the perfect plan. God wants to be listening to what you are listening to tonight. One of my very elder friends, Pastor Muyuare, was telling me a story when he was going to start church. Started Cities of Light Church in Ilorin. He was squatting with a brother. And the brother was going to get married. And after the brother got married, he knew it was time for him to leave the house. They had just maybe a one-room on parlor or self-contained. I don't know how small the house was. But he knew he couldn't be living in that house with them. And he had come to Ilorin to start a church. He had come to Ilorin to start a church. That's why he was in Ilorin. So he didn't have enough money. So that day, I think he said he had a blender or a microwave or something that was only property. So as he was leaving the house, he sold the microwave to the couple because they was living. And somebody had sent $250,000 to his account. So he started looking for a house. He wanted to look for a house and wanted to look for a venue for the church. So he went out and he saw a building that, you know, they were renovating and wanted to ask if they were able to, you could rent out the place for his own accommodation. And as he got there, he was negotiating with the agent. And the younger brother of the landlord is the caretaker of the property. The landlord himself, I don't think it was in Nigeria. So younger brother of the landlord came and saw him and was negotiating with the agent and says, "Hey, young man, are you a pastor?" He said, "I'm a pastor." The man said, "Show me your ID card." And said, "He already had an ID card as a pastor, even though he had not started a church." And he brought out the ID card and showed the man. And this Muslim man said, "Yesterday night, the Lord appeared to him and said, he's going to send his servant to rent this house at this time tomorrow morning. And I should slice the amount of the rent by half and give him that half price." He said when he told him, he started crying. The feeling that you are perfectly where God, you know what I'm talking about? That this is where God wants me to be. Now. It's so fulfilling. It's so fulfilling that you are razor sharp right in the middle of God's plan for your life. You are aligned, strongly aligned to God's plan for your life. So it's more fulfilling than money, more fulfilling than any other thing. God doesn't change his mind. It's possible to find and fulfill God's plan for your life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Help me do more. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. What does it say? 2 Timothy chapter 4. I fought a good fight. Is your mic not working? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Everyone, do you have it? Everyone, please open it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I've done what?
I fought a good fight. I have finished my course.
I
have kept the faith.
I've kept the faith. Give me NLT. NLT of the same scripture.
I fought a good fight. I have finished the race.
I've finished my race.
And I have remained faithful.
So to fulfill your race, to fulfill your call, you must remain faithful. He said, "I have finished my race." So right before all of us here is a race. A race that I've been called to run. Please listen to me very carefully. You see, the Bible study meetings like this, I believe that they are the fanatics that are here. People that are very serious. Are you following my point? And that's why I'm very detailed when I'm teaching on Tuesdays. Because I have a very strong assumption that people that are here are serious people. Is my assumption true? At least for you. You speak for yourself. It's very true for me. I have finished my race. There's your race set before you. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 soon. There's a race set before you. Paul says, I have been faithful to it. It's possible to be faithful to your race. And to finish your race, you have to be faithful to it. God has called us as believers not to outrun each other. We are not in competition. Our instruction is to finish our race. You see, the race that we are running is not a race for a prize against each other. That is why I should not be envious of what God is doing in Mr. Lionel's life and begin to think that he's better or I'm better. There's no need for all that. There's no need for all that. We have a race to run. And my race, your failure is not my success. Are you following my point? And nobody's success is anybody's failure. I got to, you know, pump my tires in the organizer shop about last year, last 2 years. And there was a church around beside the organizer shop. I said, Is this a church? I said, this church cannot grow. This church cannot grow. Ah, they said, what do you mean? I said, this church cannot grow. Look at the church. There are bushes everywhere. The place is unkept. There's not even, you know, outside designated that place was a church. The place was terrible. So I entered the church. I said, I demand to see the pastor. I must see the pastor. I said, what's your own? I said, it's my own. This guy is my brother. This church is part of the body of Christ. This church must grow. I was shocking. In fact, that day, I didn't know somebody was watching me. The person now messaged GT. It was GT's friend. He said, this is your pastor. Now, wow, we have no concern. But it concerns me. Doesn't it concern me? Because if the kingdom of darkness is reigning in that place, it's part of my problem. Everywhere Christians are, we are brothers. Are you following my point? We are brothers. We are sisters. We are all this useless competition we are doing. It's not necessary. We are not called to outrun each other. Your church might be 1,000 seater, 200,000, 200 million seater. He gave unto some 5, gave unto some 2, gave unto some 1. He gave us in our capacity. We are not in competition. Are you following my point? I am not in competition with anybody. My instruction is to finish my race, not to outrun you. And even if I'm ahead of you, it's possible that your own is not even up to 200 meters. What if your own is 50 meters? What if your own is 20 meters and my own is 1,000 meters? So now that I'm ahead of you, I will now relax. I'm stupid. Submit yourselves unto the Lord. Your work is your work. We are not in competition with anybody. Anybody. The body of Christ has to learn this. And I was talking to one of my pastor friends today, and I told him everything. Everything we're doing. He was very shocked. He said, Pastor, I'm very grateful for this, your openness. So I said, what am I hiding? What have I received that was not given to me? What have I received? I said, I am a copycat. Nobody's original. So I said to him, I said, look, I'm not an original. God looked at himself and made a copy. I'm a copy of God. So I can pick ideas from this person, copy. So, what do you have? What's working there? And we are open because we are on the same side of the battle. Are you following my point?
Yes, sir.
We need to learn this. We all have a calling and it's possible to finish. So Paul says, I was faithful to my call. The greatest distraction, the greatest weapon of the devil is the weapon of distraction. Is to distract you from your call, from your race. Sometimes the devil is not able to make you do something wrong. He's able to distract you with something good that is not your own race. So he lures you out of your race by introducing something that is okay, that is nice, but is not your call. Everybody's call is different. We are differently called. We are differently positioned by God. Everybody here. And I'm not talking about strictly ministers. I'm talking about every believer. Every believer. What God has called you in a ministry to do is not what God has called me to do. And even if we're in ministry together, what God has called me to preach is different. He said, Isaiah said, what shall I cry? He said, cry that the Lord, the glory of all men, is turned to faith. He told him what to cry. So what God has given to me as a sermon or as a message is different from what he has given to any other person. Are you following my point? Am I making sense tonight? So Satan's greatest weapon is to distract you. If he cannot make you fall into sin, cannot make you walk into sin, it's going to make you be distracted. Open to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 20. The story of Jehu, I've preached the story of Jehu several in this church before. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 20. Satan's strategy is to make you exhaust your energy and exhaust your strength on what is not your call. What does it say? 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 20.
And the watchman said,
what?
He came even unto them.
Yes.
And cometh not again.
Yes.
And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, so, the son of Nimshi.
So they said Jehu was running to the palace. How many of you know Jehu? You know Jehu, Abi? Do you know Jehu? They said he's driving. What does NLT say? They said the man's driving is like that of Jehu. Look at that. Son of Nimshi. For he driveth furiously. Give me an NLT. What does NLT say?
The messenger has met them, but he isn't returning either. It must be Jehu, son of Nimshi, for he's driving like a madman.
They said he's driving like a madman. That means Jehu was driving. You see, the story of Jehu was a very painful one. For many years, God spoke to Elijah, anoint Jehu as the king over Israel. Elijah did not anoint. You know, Elijah was just on a man of his own. So now, he was supposed to anoint Jehu, and I'm going to read that scripture to you. He was supposed to anoint Elisha, he was supposed to anoint Eliezer. And he didn't anoint, he only anointed Elisha and ran off. So now, Elisha had become a very prominent prophet. Why Jehu, that was supposed to be contemporaries with Elisha, was just a mere captain in the army. They now called him aside. I'll preach this on Sunday. I have to preach this sermon on Sunday. And they anointed and said, you are now king. When they told him he's king, he said, eh? And began to run. And he killed Jezebel. He killed Jezebel that day. So when they saw him running, they said, he's running like Jehu. That means that's not the first time that Jehu has been running like that. But for the first time now, Jehu was running towards his calling. Before, he has been running towards Baal. They know him by his running. That was not the first time he was exerting energy on a course that was not his course. Am I making sense? So Satan can distract you. The same energy, the same passion that could have been poured out on your core, he uses it for something that's absolutely different from what you are called to do. Open to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1.
Therefore,
KJV says what?
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud.
Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, yes?
Let us lay aside every weight.
Let us lay aside every weight.
And the sin which doth easily beset us.
And the sin which easily besets us.
And let us run with patience the race that
And let us run. So do you have Living Bible, not NLT, Living Bible? It says, now that we have a cloud of witnesses. Favor. I didn't know you were around. A cloud of witnesses. Who are those cloud of witnesses? Hebrews chapter 11, he listed out all the men of old, Solomon and David and Samson and Gideon and Jephthah. All these people in Hebrews chapter 11 are the people he was calling the cloud of witnesses. He says we have a cloud. So what does, do you have? Have you seen Living Bible? Who has Living Bible? The Living Bible, TLB. And you can read it out. It's on the screen. That's the Living Translation. I want the Living Bible. And this is not this, I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Media, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let's look at the Living Bible. So anybody has TLB, not the Living. There's New Living Translation. There's the Living Bible. Okay, so look at that. Let's go. I want to go. Read all of us together. What does it say? Yes? Yes? So the Bible says to lay aside every weight. You see, weight is not sin. If you see an Olympic athlete who wants to run, I mean, I've seen an Olympic athlete go to the track with a agbada before. Eh? If he's not like this, we are here today. He can't win. Is agbada wrong? Eh? But agbada is a weight. What do they come with? They come with the lightest, even their shoes, very light. He says, let's lay aside every weight and then sin that wraps itself round. Give me back the Living Bible. That wraps itself round about us, strip us off. You see, when God wanted to put his hand upon Elijah, the first thing Elijah did, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, is that he guarded his loins. He took his agbada like this, tied it. Because even if God wants to give you speed, if your agbada is flowing anyhow, it will trip you and you will fall. Those are the things that happen to us when God wants to bless us, but there's so much entanglement around our lives. He said, let us run the race that is set before us. There's a race that is set. Don't run another man's race. Don't run another person's race. There's a race that is set before you. It is your race. That's what God has called you about and told you to go and do. In the book of 2 Kings, 1 Kings, I beg your pardon, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 to 17. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15 to 17. All right, let's have it. 1 Kings chapter 19, 15 to 17. Bobby, come. Silas, come. Val, come. What does it say? 1 Kings chapter 19, 15 to 17. So, Silas, you stay here. Eh? You stay here. Yeah, you say you stay here. So, it's the rate. Okay, the items are that. Very good. Okay, so what does it say? Help me. Do more.
And the Lord said unto him.
The Lord said unto him.
Go.
Go.
Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus.
Yes.
And when thou comest.
When you comest.
Anoint Hazael.
Anoint Hazael. As.
To be king over Assyria.
As the king over Syria. So when you get back, anoint this guy to be king over Syria. Yes. Then next.
And Jehu. The son of Nimshi.
The son of Nimshi.
Shall thou anoint. To be king over Israel.
To be king over Israel. This guy, king over Syria. This guy, king over Israel. Third one.
And Elisha. The son of Shaphat. Of Abel-Meholah.
Yes.
Shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy
room. You anoint this guy to be prophet in your stead or to replace you as my prophet. What does it say next?
And it shall come to pass. That him that escaped the sword.
That the person that escapes Azel's sword.
Shall Jehu slay. And him that escaped the sword of
Jehu. He that escaped the sword of Jehu.
Shall Elisha slay.
So God strategically positioned us in the kingdom. As a master strategist, you see, God is looking at this battle from an overview. And he placed this guy here. How many of you play chess? And you place your bishop here. You place your knight there. You're not just placing them haphazardly. You are looking at an end. Are you following my point? So when God says, place Hazael in Syria. Place Jehu in Israel. Place Elisha as prophet in your stead. God began to think that he that escapes the sword of Hazael, what happens? Jehu will slay. So that no matter what the devil does, he's not going to be able to escape. Because there will be people strategically positioned everywhere to combat him. So that even if he escapes this person, this other guy will catch him. What the devil does is to ensure that where this guy is staying looks very colorful, very glamorous. This guy is flying private jets. This guy is meeting with kings and doing that. And then he tells this other guy that, why are you here? Can't you see that this guy's race is a better race? You are just here. See where your mates have gone. See what your mates have done. See where you are. My friend, leave that side. So this one began to think too. When he gets home, his wife will tell him, dear. Dear, what's happening to our life? We are just here for nothing. Our life is not making meaning. See our friend. See this person. See that person. See this person. There was a reason why, upon all the people that Satan killed, he left the wife of Job alive. Because the devil needs, you see, if he cannot get someone to speak to your mind, he cannot get you. That's why when I say, look for godly friends, I know what I'm talking about. If Satan cannot see anybody, he will not have ingredients with which to destroy your life. He has to keep somebody around you that he would speak through. He could not get Adam but through Eve. He had observed them in the garden. That Adam will not listen to Satan, but Adam will listen to Eve. Satan is a very observant fellow. So he talks to this guy. Leave this place. This is your race. Can't you see this other person's race? It's not the same time they call both of you. Look at here, you are there. My friend, move. So he too, he moves and comes here. He will not move in the name of Jesus. When he comes here, success is not a proof of God's calling. Prosperity is not the proof of the calling of God. Are you following my point? Yes, that what you are doing is doing very well is not a proof that was what God wants you to do. And the fact that what you are doing is not working well is not the proof that God didn't call you to do it. One of the reasons why I'm saying this is that God told me many years ago, when I asked him, Lord, how can I live to please you? He said, you have to live like a tree. And he told me many things as a tree does. A tree does not hate its own fruit. A tree grows towards photosynthesis, towards sunlight. A tree grows deeper as it grows taller. Don't forget your initial consecration. The things that make you who you are, strengthen them as you grow higher in your life. And many things. And one thing he says that a tree does not live where it is planted. A tree does not live where it is planted. Then he comes to this Elisha and says, Elisha, you are just a prophet in the wilderness. Nothing to show for all your calling. If he's able to convince him and all of them match up the side, when Satan escapes now, has he escaped everything? So because he places a race before us, and God as a master strategist had designed that all of us here, as we are here, as you are looking at me like this, everyone has a positioning in God. But when Satan is able to lead us to live where we are standing, to align with what other people are doing, he's able to strategically miss out all what God wants to do in our lives. Please go and sit down. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
There's a race set before you. The Bible says we have a cloud of witnesses that are watching us. A cloud. All the apostles of old, Apostle Peter. And if you watch football and you go to the stadium, see? You know, you have seen those things before. That's what they are doing, you know, as they are looking at you. Because they have been here before. Right here, as we are now, Peter is looking at us. Bible says that we have come to the multitudes of saints. They are here. They are checking. You see, they are not concerned whether you have bought a new car. They are not bothered about your natural decisions in life, whether you have now married or you have not given birth. Those ones are your personal cup of tea. What is their concern is how you are running your race. They don't even know about those ones. They are looking at you. You know, and Paul is doing like this. Because he was there. He would have been patient. What would I have done? Where now? He missed that ball. Their eyes are on us. We have a cloud of witnesses. He says to run the race he has set before us. Lay aside every weight, sin and weight, natural things that can hold you back from being all and what God wants you to be. Another problem is that people are not running the race. Like I said in this, that they are not running the race that God set before them. They are running the race of others. They are running and wanting to fulfill the call of others. Number two, he says to run with patience. To run with patience. I love that. Because running with patience is like an oxymoron. It's like placing two opposite words side by side. How do you run with patience? Because running itself is a sign of being in haste. Are you following my point tonight? Am I making sense, church? What I'm saying, is it boring you? When you run, God doesn't want you to run ahead of him. There's a divine timing for what God has called you to do. Most times, we human beings are very time conscious. And we run ahead. And when we run ahead, we can soil what God wants to do with our lives. We can destroy it. Look at Moses. Moses sensed the call of God on his life. He was supposed to be the one delivering Israel. But he ran ahead. He ran ahead of God. And God had to now, you know, reorganize again from the beginning. Some of us, we have to learn patience. The fact that God has spoken to you does not mean that you go and do it tomorrow morning. I know God has spoken to you. It doesn't mean he started this year. Sometimes he gives you just a glimpse of what he wants to do, and then you have to wait on him for the timing. You see, God's time is part of his plan. If you step out of God's time, you have stepped out of his will for your life. Kenneth Hagin said many, many years ago, he said, Jesus told him, I would rather have you far behind me than way ahead of me. He said, because if you are far behind me, at least you'll be seeing my back. If I turn left, you may be late, but you will turn. He said, but if you jump ahead of me, you are sure to miss your way. You will not miss your way in Jesus' name. Amen. So running with patience is critical in a generation that is a microwave generation. Everybody wants it now, 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 now. You want to wear the kind of suits that Pastor Debo is wearing now. Now! Give it to me! Now! Say, pray for patience. Lord, give me patience now! You want to fly private jet now? You want to do that now? 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 And people have been lured into all kinds of disastrous things because they want to have it now. Be contented with where God has put you. Bible says, contentment and godliness is what? Great gain. It is difficult for Satan to destroy someone that is not greedy. You see, there's a place that tells you, and I'm going to teach about that on Sunday, that talks about the urgency of the call of God on your life. There's a place where it says, run with patience. Run with patience. What is the reason why people are doing Yahoo Yahoo today? Eh? Now, people are doing Yahoo Yahoo. They are even impatient with Yahoo Yahoo. They added Yahoo Plus. Plus, plus. And we are hearing stories of young people don't used to do ritual before when we were small. Our mates don't used to do ritual. It is the other people here doing ritual. But now, young guys, 22, look at that guy that the story was about yesterday. 23-year-old, cutting people, cutting their leg, cutting people's hands, cutting people's breasts. What kind of terrible life is this? Impatience. You want to do it now? You want to get it now? God said to Abraham, look from where you are. Does that make sense? Look from where you are. Be looking from where you are. You have seen where God is taking you, but look from where you are. Don't steal it. Patience in your call. One of the strongest disasters. You see a young man in church. Hey, pastor. And I know God has called you. And God called me. And I served. And this is an operation. And that God is preparing you. Every season is preparation for the next season. And God gives you a blessing. He wraps in that blessing the test. The way you do this blessing is all to determine how you will get the next one. Someone say, if God can give me 1 million, I know what I'm going to do. No. He saw the way you spent the last 1,000. He saw how you spent it. See, if I can just get 10 million, even Jesus will know. He doesn't know anything. We already saw how you spent the last 10,000 you got. We saw how you spent. We already. Bible says, he that is faithful in little is. He didn't say we be. He that is faithful in little is faithful in much. Because we already know. Patience. There's a season of preparation where God is molding you. Moody for where he wants to take you. Say, I go to prepare a place for you. Now he's preparing you for where he has prepared for you. He has a place he has prepared for you and he's preparing you. Sometimes that season can be very painful because there's energy bubbling in your blood. But God says, relax. If you jump out now, you're going to soil everything. Learn. That's humility. Learn. Look at Joseph. God gave Joseph a dream. What was Joseph's dream? Eh? What was Joseph's dream? Can someone remind me what Joseph's dream is? You are not telling what Joseph dream is. The sun, the stars bow down to him. Was his dream to become prime minister of Egypt? Okay, so they told us in Sunday school that Joseph's dream came to pass at age 30. But did the dream come to pass at age 30? Eh? What came to pass at age 30? He became prime minister. What was his dream? That his brothers would come and bow down. His brothers did not bow down to him until 9 years after. 9 years. 7 years of plenty and 2 years into the famine. 9 years. 9 years. Joseph, the supreme, most, almost the most powerful man in the world then, because Egypt was the world power, sat down on his throne. He knows where his brother is living. He had military might at his beck and his call. He can just say, yes, 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 yes. Everybody rise up. Oh yeah, go to that Canaan land. There are 10 brothers there. Bundle them now and come and bow them down. Use their head to knock the ground. You know who would have done that? He had the power to do that. He had the funds for that. He had the connection for that. He had the military might for that. Joseph sat on his throne for 9 years, waiting for God to bring to pass what God promised. That's to wait. Humility is not that you don't have power. Humility is that you have power and you did not use it. Some people don't have power. They say they are humble. You are ugly, you say you are a virgin. Nobody toast you. Nobody. That's below the belt. Oh, ouch, sorry. Nobody toast you. You don't have money. You say you're a virgin. Nobody wants to sleep with you. Nobody. Now they're recording me. Joseph sat down patiently for God. Don't make it happen. Let it happen. When God promises you, let it happen. Hallelujah. Let it happen. Let it happen. So he prepares you for where he wants to take you. All right? Let me run through this very fast. Everyone here is gifted, like I said. You have giftings for your calling. You have giftings for your calling. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, NIV says, each man has his own gift from God. One has a gift, another has that. This one has this, another one has that. So it's your job to use your gift. The purpose of your gift is not for your benefit. Number one, purpose of my gift is not for my benefit, but for others. One thing the Lord said to me is that if a tree does not eat its own fruit, my gift is not for my personal benefit, but for others. Only believers have spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Please write it down because of my time. I have to round up. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Only believers have spiritual gifts. Number three, every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 7. Can you help me with that, Dumo? 1 Corinthians 7 verse 7.
For I will that all men were even as I myself.
Yes.
But every man had his proper gift of
every
God.
Every man has his proper. So all of you, as you are here like this now, you have your gift. You see, your gift might not be a popular gift. Someone say, I like your gift. Someone told me, say, Pastor Philip is the most charismatic pastor in this Abuja. He's the most very energetic and charismatic. Somebody thinks, it's not my energy. Somebody else can come and begin to jump like that and might collapse. And when it gets to heaven, they'll say, why are you jumping like that? They'll say, is that your gift? Somebody else can go and buy lab coats like Bishop Oyedepo. And wear white shoe and red tie. I say, listen to me. The vision. And nothing will happen. Because you are not, that's not what you are called to. Some fellows thought that it was by suits. They went to go and buy Benin suits. Nobody got healed. Nobody was healed. They wore white shoe and white suits. Every man has his proper gift. Every man. Don't undermine your own gifts. Don't shun your gifts. It was God that gave to you. There are times in my life I wish I was more deserved than this. Because when I saw that, I said, this is what? People think that this guy is wise now. He was quiet and said, I just wish that maybe I can have some spiritual ability, so I can look spiritual a bit. So sometimes I think it will, only if I can just, because my own is just too much. I mean, I'm just, what is my problem? Can't I just be like every other pastor? Why can't I just sit down? I mean, I'm everywhere. I'm just, can't you just be calm and, you know, and let the Holy Spirit, they said the Holy Spirit is a very gentle spirit. A dove, and yet it came with a mighty rushy wind. It came and scattered everywhere. The Bible says, be mighty, like a noise. Steering the entire noise. And that's a gentle person. The Holy Ghost is Holy Ghost VAT. It's not introvert, it's not extrovert. It's spirit VAT. Are you following my point? So there are times I've wished that if only I can just sit down like this person. You know, when ministers, when we went to church, one church conference one time, when pastor's conference, and I was there, nobody heard with me. In Lagos, all the pastor avoided me. I'm telling you, when I got, only me, on my, if I sit down at the table, only me will be there. Nobody. I'll be seeing all of them clustering, talking. I was the odd one out. It was something my friend came from Ibadan, Tolumudi. So when he came from Ibadan, I was not greeting him. Hey, people not, you know that guy? All this, are these ones, they called of God like this? So I wish I could have an appearance like that. Very holy appearance and be taking my step like this. But I'm not saying, hey, what's up? Shock, no, I wish I could just be blessed. I wish I could do that. Bless. Somebody sent me a message. He said, hello, pastor. I said, what's up? I said, what's up? I said, this person now screenshot it. I said, what pastor gave you what's up? Where's the screenshot? It? I mean, I didn't know the person was going to screenshot it. Person says hello. I say, what's up? How far? How you doing? Person now screenshot it. See, I was about to say Calvary greetings. Calvary greetings. Every man has, you are equipped. You are designed. If you are taller than this, you have to be too tall for your calling. God says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God crafted you, custom made for the call he has for you. You are as the way you are, don't bleach. You are just the way you are. Just like that. There's a reason why you're like that. Our spiritual gifts are different and unique. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 29. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 29. Please write those scriptures down. Our spiritual gifts are different. Our spiritual gifts are different and they are unique. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29. You can't earn a spiritual gift in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. You can't earn a spiritual gift, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Be aware of the gift projection tendency. Put it down like that. Be aware of the gift projection tendency is to expect others to serve the way you do to have similar results. It's called gift projection. It's a tendency for you to think that if anybody is not like me, the person is wrong. Anybody that does not talk the way I talk, the person is wrong. Anybody that does not walk the way I walk, the person is wrong. And there are some churches, you know, that everybody must talk like the senior pastor. Everybody must walk like the senior pastor. Everybody must dress like the senior pastor. It becomes a clone. And, you know, they may have the reason for doing that, but that's not God's best way. All of us have a way that God has blessed us. So if you see Pastor Adebe, and you see some pastors in Pastor Adebe that are very, very radical. And yet you see Pastor Adebe, very calm. Pastor Adebe is not calm. He's just calm, like calm. He's a very radical man. You see people like under Bishop Adebe, all of them want to talk like him. Pastor Kumi, my brother, my sister. Everybody wants to talk like that. It's okay. I know they honor the man of God. But all of us, we should be careful of gift projecting to make it look as if you are not doing what I'm doing, you are doing it wrongly. All right? Don't think your gifts are superior to others. Give me 1 Corinthians 12 verse 21. Help me do more. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 21. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 21. I have to round up now. My time is up. I have to continue this next Tuesday.
1 Corinthians 12:21.
Yes.
And the eye cannot say to unto the hand.
The eye cannot say to the hand, yes.
I have no need of thee.
I have no need of thee.
Nor again the head to the feet.
Or the head to the feet.
I have no need of you.
So the Bible says all of us will always need each other. Let me show you something very touching. And I'll round up with this. It's not part of my sermon, but I want to round up. If I go now, I don't know how to end the sermon. So let me just divert and let me show you this. Open the book of Acts. Now, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 27. Let's start from verse 26. Acts chapter 9, 26. Help me do more. Everybody, please, everybody look at your Bible. This is very important. Acts 9, verse 26. What happened?
When Saul was come to Jerusalem,
he has said to join himself to the disciples.
But they were all afraid of him.
But everybody was afraid of him, yes?
And believed not that he was a disciple.
And they didn't believe that he was a disciple.
But Barnabas took him,
yes?
And brought him to the apostles.
And
declared unto them how he had seen the Lord.
Yes?
And that he had spoken to him.
And
how he had preached boldly
to
Damascus.
When Paul came back, because he was a persecutor of the church, nobody believed him. It's like this guy, and I wasn't of this terrorist guy now. Is this Shekau? Is this still alive? No, I've killed him many times. He kills us. It's like cockroach. He kills cockroach. So he comes and says, brethren. Brethren, how? That's how everybody ran. But Barnabas took him. Barnabas took Paul like this and took him to them. Said, no, this guy, I know him. He's genuinely saved. And he began to tell them stories about Paul. So that's number one. Let's go on. Paul kept preaching. Verse 30. If you look at verse 30 of the same chapter, Acts chapter 9, verse 30. Bible says,
Which when the brethren knew,
uh-huh,
they brought him down to Caesarea,
yes,
and sent him forth to Tarsus.
So when Paul began to preach, there was a lot of problem in the church. They now sent him to Tarsus. There were persecutions against the church. They sent him away to Tarsus. And for many years, Paul was forgotten in Tarsus. The same Paul, apostle, abandoned in Tarsus. But in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, Acts 11, verse 24, do more, 24 to 26. Help me.
For he was a good man.
He was a good man.
And full of the Holy Ghost.
And full of the Holy Ghost.
And of faith.
And of faith.
And much people was added unto the Lord.
Yes.
Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. For to seek Saul.
To go and seek Saul.
And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass. A whole year.
Now, Barnabas was the pastor of the church in Antioch. But he left and went to look for Paul in Tarsus. Now, I'm saying this because I want to drive home a very powerful point. And brought Saul to Antioch and left his stage for Saul. Be preaching. And Paul will preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. And all throughout in that passage, you keep hearing Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. In fact, if you look at verse 30 of that same chapter, it says, which also they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So you all always hear Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. Not Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was the main guy. He was the one that gave Paul a platform. In Acts chapter 12, verse 24, the Bible says, but the word of God grew. Acts 12, verse 24. And Barnabas and Saul, you see it again? Verse 25. You see verse 25? Are you in verse 25? And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, in Acts chapter 13, the most popular scripture, Acts 13 verse 1, verse says, now they were in the church that was in Antioch. You see, Barnabas was the pastor in Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers asked who? Who was the first person? Barnabas. Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which has been brought up from Herod, the tetrarch, and Saul. So Saul was the last person. Are you following my scriptures? In verse 2, as they ministered and fasted, the Lord said, separate me, Barnabas. Barnabas was the main guy. All through scriptures, everywhere I read it, one by one. Everywhere they were mentioned, I saw that it was Barnabas first. And Saul. So I kept on reading until they got to a point that Paul and Barnabas had an issue together, because they wanted to go on a missionary journey and Barnabas was insisting that it would take Mark. That it would take Mark. I've lost that scripture. That it would take Mark. And Saul said he would not agree. Can you believe what you do more? That was going to take Mark with them. But Saul didn't agree. He said because Mark had left them. Who can find that scripture for me? I missed it out now. Because I didn't write it down. Chapter 15 was what? Verse 36, are we? And some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go and visit our brethren in every city. And as they were going, and Barnabas determined to take John Mark. But Paul thought not good to take them. And Paul fought. And they had a serious contention. And look at this. Because Barnabas said he must take Mark, Paul turned back from Barnabas. Look at Paul. That was very arrogant. Very arrogant. You see, if you don't do this like Paul, you are not serious. If you don't behave like he behaves, you are not serious. Just because of this young boy. This boy was a young boy who was afraid of persecution and turned back when they were persecuted. And Barnabas said, no, let us take him. The same way I came to take you. But Paul had forgotten. Paul had forgotten that he was taken. He was taken by the hand, by Barnabas. Now, he had the infantry to stand. You know, when I'm preaching, I can taba anybody in scripture. You have seen me taba Judas, taba. The only person I don't talk is Jesus, my Lord and Savior. I can talk, I can see everybody's problem. That's why it's written down. It's written for me to learn. Barnabas said, I'm going to pick this boy, Mark. Paul said, no, if you're going to pick him, that's your problem. I'm going. And abandoned. And Barnabas took Mark down to Cyprus. And Paul took Silas. You will never hear anything that Silas did. Not your own, not your own. There's a Silas in the house. At the latter end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. Verse 4, verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 11. Only look. Where was Silas? At the latter end of Paul's life. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 11. Help me.
Only Luke is with me.
Take Mark.
And bring him
to me.
For it's profitable to
for
me.
It's for profitable me. To me. At the latter end of his life. Barnabas was never mentioned again. But you see, Barnabas, not everybody will be in the limelight. You see, relax, relax, relax. On the day of judgment, we'll be surprised. We'll be shocked. When the day of our reward comes and God is rewarding his saints, you'll be shocked. There are people, because you're on social media, you think it's by social media. You will see people that nobody knew their name. Intercessors in the dark who battered revivals. Barnabas was never mentioned again. He poured all his heart and mentored that Mark guy. Mark was the one that wrote the book of Mark. Mark was not there with Jesus. How did Mark write the book of Mark? It was everything Barnabas taught him. And the book of Mark is the first book of all the Gospels. So look at now. Paul, at his dying age, he said only Luke is here. And who was Luke? Luke was a physician. He was like a doctor. Everybody had gone. He said, bring Mark. Bring Mark. Be careful with superiority mentality. Be careful. That God has put the spotlight on you doesn't mean you are better than the other person. Be very careful. Barnabas, Silas did not write any book. Not the Silas. Do you know the Silas didn't have a voice? You know, didn't have a voice? You know, there was no way to say, and Silas said. Because of the dominion power of that guy, Paul, nobody could say anything. He could face the church. I pray and talk to the whole of you, please. I labor more than everybody. I work more than everybody. I pray and talk to everybody. Be careful. On the day God is going to put a reward on us and give us a crown, be careful of projecting yourself as superior. Even in the church, there are some people that think that they are better than others because they're on the stage. There's somebody at the backside, at the back end, who's praying. who's praying, who's breathing the things. There are people who are praying for the things that we're seeing in church. The person on the spotlight will be shocked. It's not by Instagram following. Our generation needs to be taught. We have lost a lot of things. We are so obsessed with public, so obsessed with being seen, that we can't even see the power of withdrawing from the public. It is too obsessive. It's a terrible problem. I mean, people are poo-pooing their video in it. See me pooing. See me going. See me wearing something. See me wearing my clothes. Dress with me. Get ready with me. I'm going now. See me going. See me coming. See me going to market. See me rubbish. We are too obsessed. Before this thing came, don't you have a life before? Before we started all this, don't we have a life before? All the attention that we should have put on ourselves and develop ourselves, we are just there trying to be who we think people want to see. And we are living fake life is now more than original life. It's terrible. I hear that people even rent phone. People rent iPhone 14 to go to outings. I'm telling you, people rent phone now. We have to be taught. Are you following my points? Look at Barnabas. Barnabas didn't struggle. Picked up that boy. Poured his heart to that boy. And just because that was his own gifting. I will teach you next week. We have pastors, we have shepherds, we have leaders, we have administrators. I listed everything out. I have a 39-page document. 39 on this thing. Maybe next week I'm going to ask them to send the soft copy. I've prepared this by myself. Barnabas was not all over the whole place. But he was the one that handpicked Paul like this. And Paul forgot. Now Paul was the main guy. Paul and Barnabas. Everybody was calling Paul. And just because this young guy cannot follow him, he dashed him off. So at the latter end, what if Barnabas did not focus on that boy? Would that boy be there for him to say, call that boy, he's profitable for me? If everybody abandoned that boy the way he abandoned the boy. Because the guy didn't look like him. There's a race before you. And God wants you to fulfill. Come and help me with this thing. I think it's this thing shaking. God wants you to find and to fulfill. I want you to bow down your heads where you are right now. And say, Lord, my eyes are open. My heart is open. I know in my spirit what you have called me to do. I'm here for a purpose. I'm equipped for my purpose. There's a calling of God on my life. I don't want to live my life by trial and error. I don't want to live my life by groping in the dark. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to find my race. To know where my call is. Like Jehu was called, like Azel was called, like Elisha was called. To find my positioning and stay there. And stay there. And stay there. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, Lord Jesus. Hepa prako sote karada shaya. Engrandele brako filiki braski ataya. Help me, Lord, not to be overrun by what the people would say, or what people want to see, by public opinion, by what's popular. Help me to find my place and be planted in my call in you. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, not just to find my call, but to be faithful in my call and to fulfill my call and to run my race and to finish my race. Help me, Jesus. Eka ba shateka andro sufre telebrasia. Erabaka shambra delebaradasaya. Eka barada bakashaya. That I will not be swayed left to right. I will not be tossed to and fro. That indeed it will be clear to me what God wants me to do. And my eyes will see it and my heart will pursue it. Thank you, everlasting Father. I'm going to give you one more minute to pray. One more minute to just pray. Speak to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. I fulfill my race. My marriage, my life, my home, my parenting, my children. I fulfill my race. Everything that is called with me, I will not miss out on what God has called me. I will not miss out on what God has called me to do. Whatever you are doing right now and God has called into it, ask the Lord, I will be faithful in this. I will be faithful. I will be faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I will not grope in the dark. I will not stumble and fall. Lead me, Lord. Lead me. Lead me. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Can we put just something aside?
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.